Welcome to a brand new podcast series on the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. My name is Dinyeko Denere, and I am a technical staff member at the IASB. In this podcast series, we will be diving into all things you need to know about the upcoming third edition of the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. This standard is designed for entities that do not have public accountability, that is, small and medium-sized entities, but who prepare general-purpose financial statements. So whether you're a preparer, investor, or auditor of SMEs financial statements, or simply an interested stakeholder, this podcast is for you. We plan to release episodes regularly throughout 2025 to keep you informed with the latest developments on the standard. In this first episode, I am not alone. I am joined by my colleague, Carlo Pereiras.
Thank you, Tinico, and hello, everyone. I'm also a technical staff member at the IASB and have been closely involved in the project to update the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. I'm excited to share that the third edition will be published in February 2025. It will take effect for annual periods beginning on or after 1st of January 2027. However, SMEs may choose to start using it as soon as it is published.
Let's start with the key changes to the third edition of the standard our listeners need to know about. I will take you through three of those, and Carlo will take you through three as well. So first, I look at a section 2, Concepts and Pervasive Principles. This is a completely revised section. This new section will help SMEs when they develop their accounting policies when the standard does not specify requirements. The next section is section 9, Consolidated and Separate Financial Statements. This section introduces a single basis for assessing control and removes the two previous models. This single model will improve comparability between consolidated financial statements prepared applying the standard. The third section is section 11, Basic Financial Instruments, which will be renamed Financial Instruments in the third edition of the standard because it combines the previous section 12. It introduces a principle for classifying financial instruments that will make the classification of financial instruments easier. It also introduces new requirements for issued financial guarantee contracts, simplifying the requirements on issued intragroup financial guarantee contracts. In addition, there are new disclosure requirements which will provide users with improved information about an SME's liquidity and cash flows. Carlo, over to you.
So let me highlight three other main changes. So first, on section 12, fair value measurement. So this is a new section bringing together the requirements on fair value measurement. The section is also updated to align with the requirements in IFRS 13. Combining the requirements improves the accessibility of the requirements for SMEs, while the amendments will improve clarity and consistency when SMEs use fair value. Section 19, Business Combinations, has been revised to align with IFRS 3, updating the definition of a business and introducing new measurement requirements. The improvements will provide users with a better understanding of the cost of a business combination. And the last main change that I want to cover is on Section 23, Revenue, which has been renamed Revenue from Contracts with Customers, has been revised to align with IFRS 15. SMEs will apply a single comprehensive framework in determining when and how much revenue to recognize.
Now that we've covered the main changes, let me explain how we got there. As a reminder, the IASB maintains the standard through regular reviews to ensure that it continues to be simple for SMEs to apply while meeting the needs of users of SME financial statements. This new addition is the result of the IASB's second comprehensive review of the standard. For this review, the IASB started by asking stakeholders in 2020 whether the standard should be updated for changes in full IFRS accounting standards. Based on that feedback, the IASB published the proposed changes in 2022, followed by additional proposals in 2024. Carlo, could you share with us how stakeholders responded to these proposals?
So over the course of the project, we received extensive feedback from our stakeholders. So this feedback includes 170 comment letters submitted, 42 stakeholder engagement events, and 60 questionnaire responses, and 44 meetings held for fieldwork. Those feedback were invaluable in shaping the final standard, and we're truly grateful for our stakeholders' input. In 2024, we completed our analysis of the feedback, and the IASB finalized all technical decisions.
Let me share what made this review so extensive. In setting the scope of this review, the ISB looked at the requirements in full IFRS accounting standard that hadn't been reflected in the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard that have been issued since the first review and that have been issued before the end of the first review but did not result in changes to the standard. Those standards include standards such as IFRS 3, business combinations, IFRS 9, financial instruments, IFRS 13, fair value measurement, and IFRS 15, revenue from contracts with customers. In addition, the ISB looked at specific topics that stakeholders had raised concerns about, such as how to apply the simplification for measuring defined benefit obligations and when to recognize development costs.
So let me continue. So with such broad topics to consider, the ISB needed a clear framework to decide whether to make changes to the standard, because not everything in full IFRS accounting standards would be suitable for SMEs. The ISB used what it called now the alignment approach. The alignment approach uses full IFRS accounting standards as the starting point. To apply the alignment approach, the ISB developed three alignment principles. One, is the topic or requirement relevant for SMEs? Two, if it is relevant, can it be made simpler? And three, will it give a faithful representation of the transaction or event? So as part of that framework, the ISB also carefully considered whether the benefits of making these changes would outweigh the costs for SMEs.
We recognize that there are quite a few changes to the standard, and the ISB is planning to update educational modules that assist SMEs in applying the standard.
That's right. In addition, we are planning to release a series of webcasts. And of course, we will be covering various aspects of the third edition of the standard in future episodes of this podcast series. So make sure to subscribe to our website and follow us on social media to stay updated.
That wraps up our first episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again in March for our next episode, where we'll take a closer look at some of the specific changes in the third edition of the standard. And remember to look out for the launch of the standard in February. Until next time, it's goodbye from us.
Bye.